of all of the plans. I know that two of the team are already certified as medical clinicians to act in Maine under Maine's emergency provisions for doctors to do that. Kip Webb is going into quarantine right now on Shebig, but we'll glad to join you, if not in person, at least remotely, to give you the detailed answers, Herb, to the questions that you're asking, because those are very good questions, and they were on the minds of many people, members of the council, members of the church, others have asked these questions. So and let me clarify from Erica's presentation. This is not to test everyone on Shebig. It is not to offer it to anyone who wants to come in to get a test. It is only for those who have symptoms or are afraid that they've immediately been exposed, and it's particularly focused on those who need it most. So I would ask you to invite them at some point to give you an update of just what the plans are.
Thank you. I hope you don't think that this is anything about credentials or authority. This is a strictly a matter of communication. Mm-hmm. If this board is representing the town and something is done under the auspices of the town, we simply need information, and we haven't gotten it to date. And some red flags went up, in my mind, thinking that if that was the case, then we should. If this is a separate effort from the town, we're all for there's nothing about standing in the way of anything here, or whether there's support or not support for the item in question. It's all about communication. And seeing, instead of you giving us a snippet and Erica giving us a snippet, David giving us a snippet, Donna giving us a snippet, seeing a clear plan, and if it was going to be under the auspices of the town, would be an important thing. And that's the only reason for my comments.
I understand that, Herb, but I think that communication, as you say, is vital, and it's not just a question of under the auspices of the town. I think it's important for everyone on the island to understand what is taking place. And so your offer is very important, because there is a lot of misinformation, as we know, that often circulates.
Okay, thank you. Erica's got her hand back up. Well, I'll take your comments, Erica, go ahead.
Just one, yeah, very exactly what Lila said. And to your point, Herb, I would think of this as an expert group designing an offering on the island, which has been, we're calling COVID care. So think of it as the COVID care program. And in the planning phase, it's under the church. And in the planning phase, they have looked extensively at the very, very best models that might suit our island and our island community and our population. So they've looked at, there are many, many models of testing, tracing, and care emerging. So I just want to say there is a name for it. It is completely independent. And think of it as a planning group that they will be testing out a model, which I'm volunteering my time to them for communications as a non-medical expert, so that there will be a bridge at some point when there's a model. I'll show my cards. I would hope that the model gets set up and that they have moved through every concern you have as far as organization, HIPAA, malpractice insurance, rollout, the relationship to the state, the relationship to CDC, all of that. Once that's designed, perhaps they would come back to the town, or they would present to the council or someone with all of those specifics answered. But that's very, very, as Lila said, those are excellent questions. And that's why this, what we did was, or what the group COVID Care applied for, a planning grant to create a model. So that's what it's called. And with the idea that it isn't just a summer program, it's a service that has sustainability, and maybe part of the sustainability will be coming back to the town with a really well thought out, long, communication with all of you along the way up to the point, and have a really fruitful dialogue so that it's absolutely not rushed through, because there are a lot of details to make this go well.
Sounds terrific. Thank you. Any questions from the board or any further discussion on this? Okay, great. Okay, and any other administrative things to report, Marjorie?
Do you want me to talk about the town meeting, or do you want to talk about that under review the governor's executive order?
Yeah, let's talk about it under that. I'm sure it will come up under that, so let's leave it for that.
Unless anybody has any questions for me about anything.
How about the road work and the road plan? I don't know that we need to take any action on it, but do we want to give an update on where we're at with that? Mark and I put together a memo.
So do you want to discuss that now or under other business?
I guess I just want to point it out now, report it, make sure it's out there. If a board member wants to bring up under other business some action for this board to take or discussion, that's fine. I think just acknowledging that the communication took place and that we're shifting the plan from, or the recommendation is to shift the plan from chip sealing to all overlay. We can certainly discuss it in more detail if anybody wants to. I don't think we need to now.
I would be happy to do it under other business, but I really do want to talk about it. I understand what we're doing.
Absolutely. Let's do that. And so are there any questions for Marjorie? Okay. Hearing none, let's go into the workshops. First one is to discuss interest in a new ordinance to regulate the application of pesticides and herbicides in the town. So a little bit of background. This came to us as Marjorie and I as a communication from Sam McLean just before last meeting. I reported it under correspondence, and I felt there was enough interest on the board to hold an initial workshop on it at least. And see if this board wanted to pick up the thread or take any action or discuss it any further. A little bit of background, and maybe Marjorie, I didn't ask Marjorie to prepare for this, but I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about the communication, the initial communication Marjorie responded to and directed Sam to the planning board, which was appropriate because the planning board has discussed this item in the past. Can you fill us in with any details, Marjorie, on what we have done either as a town or a planning board or communications with, and you got the planning board chair involved at that point in this communication thread. So do you want to give us any background? And I apologize for not giving you a heads up on this, but.
That's okay. I had just recalled from going to the planning board meetings that it was something that was discussed from the comprehensive plan, the concern about water and water quality and trying to protect the water, the idea of an ordinance regulating pesticides and herbicides had come up in discussion. And that's why when I got the email from Sam McLean, I copied Bob Ernest on it. And he just wrote back and said that he felt like if we were going to develop a new ordinance, that it would be more of a selectman thing. I haven't done any research and looked at samples. I think we asked Sam to maybe do some research on what she had in mind and to look at other towns and what they had in place.
Yeah. And I haven't heard anything from her, have you?
No.
Okay. I did let her know that we were going to have this as a workshop. So let me pull one thing up on the screen for you guys. So this is a website, and I intended to send you guys out a more informative email and point you in this direction. I just didn't get to it. It's not hard to find if you just Google pesticide ordinance in Maine. You get this site. I'm happy to give it to you. But this talks about municipal pesticide ordinances, and it sort of lists the towns that have them. Most are a little bigger than us. Some only mention it actually in the same way that we mention it in our ordinance, which is in connection with agriculture or forestry, I think, actually. So if there was a forestry operation out here, I think our ordinance does cover pesticides use in a forestry operation. But it doesn't discuss anything on a residential, which is what Sam was talking about. Some of these ordinances, and I haven't gone through many of them, I didn't have time to do too much research. I was gonna try to point a little closer at things. But I will just offer this as a place to go out to. There is some precedent for the concern. There's some interest in it. So since we don't have any real data to discuss tonight, I would be happy just to discuss like a next step. And I think the possible next steps this board could take would be to A, refer it back to the planning board, because it is, in most of these cases, it's a land use function. And often it's within the shoreland zone. Harpswell has one in here, which I did read a little bit. And it's primarily, it's very specific. You could see down at the bottom of the screen there, a summary of it. And it's primarily to protect their clam flats is what they're looking at it for. So there's a lot of different angles on this. It's a complex topic. I don't know that this board wants to undertake something at that level of detail. So I think figuring out who would do the work if we are interested in entertaining this, because we really only have very basic protections right now, would probably be our task. Is it a planning board function? Is it a private, a citizen initiative? Is it something we want to hire out professionally to somebody to review? So those are the kinds of questions I think we can discuss in this workshop and maybe figure out where we want to go. So that's my introduction. I'm going to take this down unless somebody wants me to pursue anything different. I can throw it back up if you want. Is there anything from the board? Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question. She said several people in her neighborhood had pesticides. Did she know what they were going after? And I wondered if it was the brown-tail moth.
I don't know the answer. She didn't give us any details.
You know, there's different kinds of pests that you go after with pesticides. Right. And we've had the problems in the past about in the shoreland zone not using I can't remember the name of it, but whatever it is that affects lobsters. We do have a major problem. I mean, Kathleen put something on Facebook because they're dripping, the caterpillars are dripping all over the mailboxes of people. So I really think we need a little more information about this. And this may sound like a stupid question, but does fertilizer come into this too, or would that be a totally separate?
The nitrates.
Yeah.
It's neither a pesticide or an herbicide.
No, I know.
The ordinance could certainly cover it. I mean,
I mean, that seems to be another issue. I mean, if we're going to get into this, we might as well look at it from all angles.
But
that's what I was wondering, because I do know that some people have people come down and spray their trees because of the brown-tail moth.
Okay. Jay, go ahead. You're muted.
Bartlett was in and sprayed the Hunter property about 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe. And I'm pretty sure it was for brown-tail because they were spraying high in the trees, and it was mostly the oak trees. So that seems to be a fair conclusion. It seems to me that we need to, A, get a lot more information, B, refine to a much greater level what we want to think about and what we want to do, you know, and how we go about getting there, I'm not quite sure, but, you know, we might want to talk to people like Tracy Ames, who has some expertise in that area, you know, as a start. But I think we need to define and refine what we're talking about to a much greater level if we're going to get anywhere.
So I guess the question then is, who's going to do that work? Are we going to direct? I doubt this board's going to do it unless somebody wants to take that on. You know, our options are to ask our town administrator to do it, which I'm not inclined to do at this point in time. Refer to the planning board. Wait for the public to take an initiative, or raise some money and, you know, hire somebody to do it. So that's, I think that's the task tonight, how to figure out going forward. Go ahead, Donna.
Well, this was brought to us by somebody in the public. I mean, I would go back to that person, and I'm surprised she's not on here tonight just to talk about it. You know, what the concerns are, but to ask her if she can be, you know, maybe write something up of what her vision is. It would be a place to start. I think that's what, even if it goes to the planning board, there needs to be something that is a place to start with a rationale. Why are we doing it? Yeah. You know, what would it cover? All of those kinds of things.
I did suggest that sort of thing for this meeting and didn't get a response. So I'm not sure where that leaves us. I will report back to Sam, you know, this discussion and that particular information. David, go ahead.
That's exactly what I was going to suggest. Just at least report back to Sam.
I will. I will do that. Okay. Anything further on this topic at this point? Okay. So we'll close that hearing, that part of the workshop, and open up part B, which is to discuss the process for finding a new town administrator. And I will put back in our packets, and I'll put it back up on the screen unless that's annoying to people. I will put up on the screen Donna's so Donna wrote us a memo, and we've sort of gotten this information just before last meeting, so we decided to bring it up in a workshop this evening. So this became, Donna's memo from last week became part of the packet. Donna, do you want to lead the discussion?
Sure. I just got to thinking about it. And I wrote confidential. This is nothing confidential in this. I don't know why I wrote that.
That's right.
But anyway, I got to thinking about what we had done this is our fifth time of hiring a town administrator. So I went back in my own head as to the different, every time we used a different process. So I thought that, you know, I would just kind of outline what we had done in the past and some ideas for going forward. The last time, when we hired Marjorie, we worked with Greg Hanscom, who is a summer resident, who gave us some advice on, you know, he kind of shepherded us through the process. And so I called Greg and had a couple of really good conversations with him, and he's willing to talk to us anytime. He'd be on a Zoom with us if we wanted to. But he gave me some advice of what he thought we should do, and it's similar to what we did the last time. And so if you look at the bottom section, following process was suggested by Greg, we should each become familiar with the job description as it exists now. We have, if everybody remembers back to when we became a town, we were trying to justify that it was a full-time position. And so we put everything in from the except the kitchen sink into this job description. So Greg said that might be a place we want to start with, that, you know, is that job description still what we want the town administrator to do, or do we need to break out sections of that? Next, he felt we should meet with Marjorie in an executive session and have kind of like an exit interview with an honest conversation about what she felt has worked, what hasn't worked, if she had any suggestions regarding that job description or other job descriptions in the town of how we might restructure things and take advantage of her 5 years. She's got more history here than anybody else. And so that was, I thought, a great idea that he had. Okay, and that would be before we interviewed, or before we even advertised, because we really need to know where we're going with this job. Based on her input, the board should meet in executive session and discuss the various positions in the town in relation to the TA. Now, I questioned whether we could do that, and Greg said because we only have one person in each position, that it would probably be fine because people might perceive it was criticism of the staff rather than criticism of how the position was structured. But I said we can get a legal opinion if we need it. The next step would be to revise the job description if deemed necessary, and that would be Marjorie's job description for the TA or other job descriptions if we decided to change the structure somehow. Then we need to determine a competitive compensation benefits package with a salary range. And he suggested we confer with MMA and find out, you know, what the going rate is. We have in our budget what Marjorie has been getting, and she's earned every single cent that she has, that's for sure. Then we need to decide where to advertise. And do we want to get MMA into handling advertising? We did that with one, I think, when we hired Eric Dyer. And some people weren't happy with that process because the person from MMA wasn't available when we needed to have him available. We could ask them just to advertise, receive the applications, and send them on to us. That would be another option. Do we want to add, and that does cost money. I mean, they don't do that for free. Do we want to advertise just locally, Maine, New England, or nationally? Greg recommended a wide net. Now, we've done that sometimes, and we've gotten letters from all over the country. These are all questions. Do we want applications sent to the town office with an intention blank? I mean, put blank because we don't know who it's to, so they wouldn't be opened by staff. Or do we want them to go to MMA, or do we want them to go to an individual selectman who would be willing to take the lead on this? We've done it all, because we've done it five times, we've done it all of these different ways. And how do we want to handle interviewing? What do we want, and do we want MMA to sit in? Greg has offered to help screen applicants also if we want. Or do we just want to do it ourselves? So basically, and at the end I said we should ask Marjorie for suggestions regarding the process. But I don't think that, and based on the past experience that we've had and the advice we've been given, that she should be actively involved in the process of reviewing the applications, interviewing, or hiring. She's got enough on her plate. She doesn't need to help find her successor. And I know when we were part of Cumberland, I was on the search that found Bill Shane. And Bob Benson was not involved in that. So anyway, that's just, I figured we needed a place to start, and that's the only reason I did this.
I appreciate the effort. It's helpful. So what's the board's pleasure? Do you want to kind of go down and discuss each of these? Are we comfortable just in the way it's presented and work and start working on an implementation schedule of it? What's the board's pleasure?
Well, I'll start.
Go ahead, David.
I think we should start with number two, which actually involves number one as well, to meet with Marjorie and talk about what's worked, what hasn't worked in the job description, what changes we should make, if any, and get our heads together as far as just the description, at least, of the kind of person we'd like to be our next town administrator.
Okay.
I think we should do
so,
that.
So an exit interview.
I wouldn't call it an exit interview because she isn't exiting yet. But it is somewhat along those lines. But the idea of what's in the current job description, what works, what doesn't, and what should be revised.
Okay, that doesn't sound like executive session material to me. Unless it is.
I don't know. It really depends on what direction it takes.
I want Marjorie to be able to be candid. And
about the job description, why is that?
Well, about if we are going to combine it with other things.
Okay.
Because we don't know where this is going to lead. We don't know what, that's why I wanted to call it kind of like an exit interview. So we get as much information as we can.
Okay. So it's really how that position functions within our town dynamic. More than anything, it could involve the relationship between the town administrator and the board. It could involve the relationship between the town administrator and employees or any of those. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because the job description right now says that the person in that position fulfills the following functions. We may want to talk about those functions.
Yeah, okay. Other thoughts from the board on we can schedule that tonight if you want. Mark?
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely some value in all of us taking a fresh look at the very involved job description and then having a meeting with Marjorie to have her help us decide what has been realistic, what has not been realistic. In other words, the job description says X, Y, and Z, and Y hasn't really been applied, and so on and so forth. I think there's some value in that. I also think there's some value in how things have actually worked logistically between the Board of Selectmen and the town administrator position, and the office space is another subject which probably we could use some advice on as far as moving forward in the near future of trying to improve that for present and future staff.
Okay. So that begs the question, we should become familiar with the job description. That implies that each of us goes and reads it and comes into that executive session meeting in that form. So I'll ask the question. We're having a meeting next week. I could put on an agenda item to discuss that job description if you want to talk about it before we do the executive session. If you don't think that's necessary, then I'm fine with us just reading it and going into the executive session. Either way.
I think we could just read it and go into the executive session. I don't think we need to talk about it ahead of time. People should take notes, and if they have suggestions and ideas, bring it into the executive session.
Okay. And Mark, does that make sense to you too?
Yeah, I was just going to ask if Marjorie could send us a version of the existing job description, please.
Okay. Sure. Do you want the clerk, deputy, and all that too?
I don't think so. Okay. Right now, I think we're just talking about the town administrator's position to start, aren't we?
Well, I guess I think that maybe Marjorie's hit on something, that maybe some of what she's in her job description is there are other people in the office doing different functions. So maybe that would be, we may want to change some of those things. So it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Sure, that sounds good, Marjorie.
David?
Yeah, next week sounds good as long as we don't have too large an agenda at this time. And one idea that I had would be, in addition to sending around the current job description, if Marjorie has the time, maybe to jot down her thoughts on what revisions, additions, subtractions should be made to it.
Okay. Other thoughts? I will schedule an executive session for next week. Now, we haven't had an executive session via Zoom. I don't really anticipate any problems because we have control over who can participate. Can we actually bump people off, Dave?
Yes, we can.
Okay. David, I guess you would be tasked with sort of keeping an eye on that
I'm looking at people right now, and I could, there are 9 attendees, and I could bump them all off if I so chose, if I was mean enough.
Take the hill.
I don't know if it'd be mean or maybe a service.
Herb, I think that we should have enough time for this. So, and not be tired for it. So I don't know how much we plan to have on the agenda next week, but if we had like a half an hour of a regular meeting and then had the rest of the night to work on this, I think that would, because I really do feel that this is important.
I think that's, I agree with that. And I was going to suggest we didn't need a meeting next week at all, but for the timing on the sign and, if there are any other things, I think it's fine. I think a short meeting, I agree with you, and let's keep it to a half an hour and leave the rest of the time for an executive session. I agree with that. Mark?
I'd like to thank Donna for contacting Greg Hanscom and getting this going. I think Greg has done a good job helping. I think he helped bring Marjorie in, didn't he? Wasn't he involved in that, Donna?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And I think some of the rest of this suggested process probably makes some sense at some point as we start with it.
Yep. Agreed. Marjorie, do you see any problem with executive session for number 3? There seems to be some question between Donna and Greg. We're sort of discussing that as...
No, I don't see any problem with it. You're going to be meeting with me and talking about job descriptions and like, I don't know, who was it? Mark said it might cross over the line of privacy issues, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these would both fall under personnel matters or something as under the statute?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Any other comments on the remaining steps here? I think we can just take them as we go. I think it's a great outline, Donna. I also want to echo Mark's appreciation for your taking the initiative to do this. Do we need to do any more tonight?
No, I think that's fine.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll close the workshop B. And we'll enter into workshop C, which is to review the governor's executive order. And I've read it like 3 times, and I guess I understand pieces of it. I mean, I guess I understand the initiative. If I had to summarize it, I would say that the meat of the there's no substantive changes. The biggest substantive change is the timing involved in meeting timing requirements for absentee ballots and those sorts of things. I didn't see any new capabilities in here. Would you agree with that, Marjorie? Go ahead, Marjorie.
Yes. If you like, I'd like to give you what my proposal is for town meeting.
Yeah, is that okay with everybody?
Absolutely.
Yes. Go for it.
So the first thing I wanted to mention is that Tuesday, again on the Southern Maine Managers Meeting, Kate DeFore from the Maine Municipal Association was there, and there is going to be some additional guidance about town meetings available probably sometime this week, but she didn't think that it would, again, change that much. It was going to allow the scenario that some towns are using, some people indoors and some people outdoors. This hasn't happened yet, but still 50 or less people, to allow things like drive up town meetings, which I thought was funny. And then also using multiple rooms in the same building. So that new guidance may be coming out this week, My proposal is, so on the last week of June, I would do a mailing, a full mailing out to the public with a letter talking about the budget, how, you know, that it's just a bare bones budget that we're going to be voting on. I'm not sure whether it would be a detailed budget or a summary, but enough so that people really knew what we were doing with the budget and maybe get into estimating what the mill rate would be and letting them know. So that would be the last week in June. Then on Wednesday, July 8th, we would have a sort of public hearing on the budget by Zoom to answer any questions that anybody had about the budget, to try to eliminate the need for people to come to the open town meeting, to give the opportunity for people to ask any questions that they might have after receiving the details the previous week. And then I am proposing to just have the open town meeting at the rec center. I understand that we may have a problem with getting more than 50 people, but I don't think if we do a lot of work beforehand and explain to people that we're, you know, that we're not going to turn anybody away, but we're hoping that a lot of people will not be compelled to come to the open town meeting because they'll have so much information beforehand. Of course, we'll need a certain number of people to actually vote on the budget at the open town meeting, but I would hope that people would kind of understand and would work with us, and we'll have our open town meeting. It should go pretty quickly. We're having capped articles, so we can bundle some articles together. So I think it will go pretty quickly. And that would be on July 11th at the rec center. I've talked with them and that's okay. If we want to have it there, it would be okay with them. It's a bigger room, so we could have the chairs farther apart. There are two doors that we could open if people wanted to stand by the doorway and listen in. And the only other aspect of it that I was going to talk to you about is if we wanted somehow, I mean, the people wouldn't need to they couldn't vote if they weren't actually there, but would we want to somehow stream the meeting out to the public? And that's sort of beyond me. I don't know how to do that either on Zoom or, I'm not sure how you would do that, but just to have it so the public could watch if they wanted to. But I wouldn't know how to do that. I'd need help with that. Anyway, so that's my idea.
Okay. Donna?
Yeah. Well, when I read this over, I saw that there's another opportunity. We talked a little bit last time about having a referendum, but we didn't have enough time to do that. They've changed the dates so that now we have actually 13 days of leeway, that we have 13 days if we wanted to actually create a warrant that would be, could also be a referendum, but that we could send out.
What item are you reading?
I'm reading G, I guess it's G.
60 days, this one here.
Yeah, it's G. It says the requirement of 60 days notice to be given by a municipality of its intent to process absentee ballots prior to election is suspended and modified to require 21 days notice. So I don't know if that's what that means.
Well, but we have to have the absentee ballots done. So as soon as we get the ballots from the state, the absentee balloting would be available. We are already getting applications. I thought a lot about the referendum. I talked with Natalie about having a referendum voting. I actually got in a touch with another town that does referendum voting. If you want to go that route, What's today, the 10th?
There's 13, I figured it out. Today's the 10th. And so there's 30 days in September, I mean in June. So that's 20 days. And we're doing it, the referendum would be the 14th. So if we, that would give us 13 days that we would have to get the referendum available to begin to send out.
Well, that was my problem. I didn't feel like I had enough time to do all the research and to develop the warrant. So I would have to develop a warrant and the ballot. So I'd have to create a document. So for every warrant, there would be a yes and no. For every warrant article, there would be a yes and a no. And then,
but couldn't it be like a regular, just one ballot, and it would say question one, question two, just like it does for the different candidates?
Yes. So there would be like 30 questions or whatever, however.
Yeah, many. So I mean, my vision was all you would have to do is take and reformat what you've already done and just leave a place for yes and no. I mean, I was looking for the simplest thing possible.
Simple for voters, you mean.
Yeah. And so then everybody, you know, there wouldn't be that pressure on if the, you know, 51st person shows up, who has to go.
Okay. I haven't really tried to look at all these dates and see what those drop dead dates were. We had some information from Vika last week that she was concerned about having enough time.
Well, they changed the rules. This changed the dates.
I was just concerned that I did not have enough time to research the format of the warrant and creating the ballot for voting on the budget by referendum, because I had never done it. And you don't have to have the our referendum vote on the 14th, but that would be ideal.
Right, right. Jay, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just thinking about this. I like Marjorie's plan. The only glitch I see is the limitation on how many people we can
have in one place.
Stuff into the rec hall. What I was thinking about is that we've got the ball field behind that you could hold sort of a second and yet congruent meeting at the same time with a second. Get it, or if the weather's good, hold it all in a ball field, but where you could more than fit everybody. But if you had to hold it inside, maybe there'd be a way to put people in a second area somewhere else outside and run a some kind of a communication system.
Yeah, the guidance
that church for funerals, they have a feed into the parish house.
Yeah, the guidance that Marjorie referred to that may be coming out this week would relax this item right here. This item right here says you can only have 50 person gathering limitation. So if they relax that, or if they are willing to sort of say you can have two separate rooms or two separate, but the guidance hasn't come out yet, so we, you know, it's hard to say, but I think that plan could have some potential. There'd be some technical challenges there as well. Donna?
Yeah, there's one of the things that's in this order is it says you can't use a shared microphone.
Yeah, it did say that.
And so that's a problem. I mean, it's a problem at the rec center because of the acoustics, but it would definitely be a problem if you were trying to project something someplace else. You would have to use a microphone somewhere.
Yeah, to hold real debate in that scenario without having a shared microphone or whatever you'd have to do would be a challenge. I'm looking for that. I don't remember where it was, but I remember reading it as well.
Yeah, you had it in the last thing you had highlighted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Up above a little bit. There it is.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I can get back in touch with Natalie and send her the warrant and ask her how I convert this to a referendum vote.
So how many days do we have to do that, to convert it to a referendum?
13. Well, I'm 12 starting tomorrow.
Okay.
But it says you can't share bathrooms either, so does that mean no one can go to the bathroom at the rec center at this meeting?
That's correct. We can't use the bathrooms.
Yeah, which means, I mean, we're planning on a short meeting, so
yeah,
that's not necessarily unreasonable, as long as we advertise it. So, well, it might be for an old man like me, I don't know. So we have a meeting next week. So do we want Marjorie to pursue in the next 7 days the referendum format? And then if in 7 days that's not going to make sense, do we want to have a plan B, or do we want to direct Marjorie just to go with the not worry about, not try to do the referendum vote, because there does seem to be some unease about it in our administration, which I can understand.
I've never done one before, and I've never, I got some samples from Kennebunk, but, you know, I still don't understand all the ins and outs of switching from the open town meeting to a referendum. And I know that we can do that. So I would, if that's the way you want to go, I'd like to know tonight if you want to go referendum.
That's what I'm suggesting, is that we decide that. So are your concerns sort of technical in terms of constructing the format within the software, or your concerns sort of adhering to the legal requirements, or all of the above?
Creating the document. So the warrant is a little bit different, but then I have to create a ballot. I have to create the ballot itself. I have to have that ready to send out with the absentee ballots, which will be next week. Okay. So I have to work on it.
But they don't have to go out. They don't have to go out until, 14 days, 21 days or something like that before the meeting. So they don't need to go out until, because the meeting's the 14th, so you do have a few more days.
But if we're sending out absentee ballots to people, do we delay sending the absentee ballots because I don't have the town meeting ballot ready?
Well, I would think you'd wait and have them both together. I mean, this.
What's the ramification of that, of delaying that time in your mind, Marjorie? What's the downside of delaying that to a few days or whatever the.
I don't know how that would work. So would we have to, if we already sent somebody their absentee ballot, the state, then when I had the town referendum ballot ready, would I send that out to them again?
No, they all go together. They should all go together.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. So you just hold them until you have the other one ready.
So the requirement for the absentee ballot is the same, 21 days notice, right?
Right.
Before the meeting.
I guess I'm not understanding. 21 days.
Process
absentee ballots prior to the election day. I don't know what that means. The requirement of 60 days notice.
Oh, Vika's got her hand. Vika's got her hand up. Shall we let her talk?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes, she does. Definitely, we need her.
Yeah, sorry, Vika, I just saw you.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
We can. We can.
I apologize if there is a screaming child in the background. I get what you guys are saying, and it does make sense to try to do it as easy as possible. But the one thing that I want to make sure you guys keep in mind is that a typical election, the requirement is 60 days. Now, because of all this COVID stuff, they're bringing it to 21 days. But we've already have quite a few people that have been waiting, almost one person at least 2 weeks, another, and the rest of them for over a week for their absentee ballots, because these people assumed that the election was in June, and now they're waiting longer. And the other thing that we need to keep in mind is I had, through election paperwork, received information from the U.S. Post Office, not from Sheila specifically, but U.S. Post Office in general, saying that this year they're expecting a high amount of absentee ballots to go through the mail. So to give ourselves more time to send them through the mail. And what happens through any election is, last election specifically, we had two people that did not send their information back in time to us. Therefore, their information did not count. And so what we want to keep in mind is that while we are looking at this deadline and having it be shortened to 21 days, the longer we postpone sending them out, the greater the chances are that these people might not send them back in time to us. And so we don't want to push it. I wouldn't want to try to push anything to sending out all of the absentee ballots in July for all of them any more than we have to, because I think then we're just going to put ourselves in the tricky situation of, are we going to get all of these absentee ballots back in time of election day? Because if they're not in by, you know, election day, they're not going to count. And every election, we do have some that don't make it in time. And I just would hate to see all this work go in and then a lot of them not get to us in time.
Vika, when do the state ballots come?
So I talked to them last Tuesday, I believe it was, because it was the day before the last meeting. And they said they were going to be here this week. Now, everything with election this year has been a little bit more delayed than before. And so if I didn't hear from them by Friday, I was going to give them another call. But we have not received them yet.
So if I have the town ballot ready by Friday, that would work?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, realistically, what I want to make sure doesn't happen is, you know, we really want to not take advantage of the whole, you know, we went from 60 days to 21 days. Now we can wait until the first week of July to send out the ballots, because we do want to give people a good amount of time to also send them back to us.
I'm looking at the calendar right now, and we have Friday the 12th, which is this week, but we also have Friday the 19th and Friday the 26th. So to me, that seems like quite a bit of time, you know, to be able to do that. And I really think they have to all go together. I mean, there's no question about it. But if someone wants an absentee ballot, that would still give them, it would still give them 3 weeks to get it and get it back.
Yeah, if we do it sooner than later.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting.
I just want to make sure that we don't wait to finalize all of what you guys are talking about now, you know, the first week in July, and then say, oh, well, we have 14 days between now and election. It could all be done. You know, we could still send them out, because I want to make sure I give the people plenty of time to send them back to us.
Yeah, no, I think that it seems like either we can do it or we can't do it in a week and a half. I mean, it seems like we should be able to get that done by the 26th at the latest, if we're going to be able to do it.
I personally would like to, let's see, what is the, I mean, to feel comfortable, I would like to see something like that done within like the next week, just because then it would be something that we, you know, would need to print out, put in the ballots and send them out and stuff like that, because we are printing all of the ballots for the local stuff. Yeah. So I just I would rather be safe than sorry.
Right. I would think as soon as they're done, I mean, it would be an ASAP if we decide to go in that direction.
So what is our, so that's absentee ballots. That means referendum. So what is the deadline for someone to request the absentee ballot?
So when it comes to Chebig, it's a little tricky because we are considered a special circumstance. With Chebig, because we're on an island, they can request an absentee ballot up until the day before election.
Okay.
Because island falls into one of the, you know, requirements. What we have had in the past is people with the last election in particular, we had somebody that called us and requested a ballot on the Friday before. And we were required to send it out. And unfortunately, it didn't get back to us until the, you know, a day or the day after election. And so while there is a piece of paper that everybody is required to fill out, we fall in that iffy category because we're on an island where they can really request it up until the day before.
When I read this, I can't find it right now, but I think that's almost what she's saying now, that they can request it anywhere up until the day before.
I don't remember seeing it.
I'm looking.
Okay.
I think that's true.
Yeah, I think that they gave that to everybody.
Because of COVID, yeah.
Yeah.
And the changes.
And certainly if they, so I think what to underscore what Vika's saying, we definitely want to give people every opportunity to vote and every opportunity to debate the items, which would have to be done then in a public Zoom hearing if we were gonna go referendum with everything. We would want that information package that Marjorie sends out to sort of include those kinds of warnings. Like if you want your vote to count, you know, here's the legal limits, you know, you can send it to us the day before, but if, you know, here's the practical limits. If you want it to count, we recommend that you get it in by this date and that date. So I think we could handle some of those concerns, you know, via information from Marjorie's proposed letter, which I think would have to go out anyways at the end of this month. Mark, did you have your hand up?
I would just like to say, listening to all of this, that I would like us to consider trying to accomplish this referendum situation if possible. I'm not sure, even though I don't think a lot of people would come to a physical town meeting, I'm just not sure that the rec center or the hall situation would really work very well.
Okay.
So we would still have the place where people would vote, could vote in person. So we're just talking about people who request an absentee ballot as opposed to sending an absentee ballot to everybody.
Right. Yes.
I just want to clarify that, because I started to lose track.
Absolutely. And you know, the polling place idea, the referendum idea, it's more metered. You know, you don't have 50 people sitting in a room. You have a queue that you have more control over. So, I mean, there's a lot of positive things about it in terms of people's safety. And, you know, you're there for whatever time it takes you to check off 30 things. The downside is the debate side. But I do think as we've all said, and we all seem to agree that there's not really that much controversial information in what we're asking people to vote on. So I don't personally have any problem with a Zoom hearing. We can have two of them if we feel like we want to do that. You know, advertise what we're talking about and advertise, make sure people understand that's the time to debate. So that's the only downside I see, if the mechanics can work. Anybody else?
The other question, when I was looking at it, I think the school has to have a public hearing, don't they, on their budget? Would they be combined with us in a public hearing, or would they do their own?
The whole warrant would be one public hearing. No, I think it's ours. It's in our bailiwick, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that true, Marjorie or Vika? Does the school hold a separate? You're muted, Marjorie.
The way that I read this is that Herb is right. We just have to have a public hearing. Mm-hmm. I think what maybe Donna is recalling from other school administrative districts is they have a district meeting and then.
Oh, right. Yeah, before they have the election.
Right.
The district is different.
We're a school department, so.
Right. We're a municipal school district as opposed to a regular. Okay.
Did you get the fly, David?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Any further questions on that? I think we'll take this up under other business and take a vote on whether we want to hold the budget vote by referendum. Marjorie, do you have anything further you want to express in terms of, do you have enough resources to do what's needed? Do you need help that we can provide, or funds to help, to hire somebody to help you, or anything like that?
No, I just need to dig in. I looked at it and decided I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I talked to the town clerk in Kennebunk, who do referendum voting. They've done it all along on their budget. If that's what you want, I really do want to know tonight, and then I'll just dig in and get it done. And I'll probably send our warrant to Natalie tonight, and then I'll call her tomorrow, because I have a lot of questions about how to convert things, and if I can bundle things, you know, because it'd be better to have 10 questions rather than 50.
Does this board need to approve the referendum language once it's completed?
There's still going to be a warrant, so the selectmen would have to sign the warrant that gets posted. So there's a warrant, just like we've always had a warrant that warns the voters, if you will, about how we're going to vote. But instead of saying, oh, we're going to have a town meeting at the hall on this day, an open town meeting, the warrant will say, okay, come on July 14th and vote on the town budget.
Okay, debating that or reviewing that is our prerogative. We could all just show up independently and sign it, and it would be valid.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
I'll have to get it prepared and send it out, and you would have, the selectmen have to sign the warrant, and then I create a ballot. Just like with our secret ballot elections, you know, there's an article on our warrant that says, to elect a selectman for 3 years and 2 school board members.
Right.
So all of the warrant articles would be set up so that they're a little bit different wording, and you know, with the yes and no, either beside it or below it.
Yep. The good news is you've already expressed them as capped articles, which I think is a requirement in those. David, did you have your hand up?
Yeah. Maybe this question should be when we're actually voting, but I'll ask it now anyway, because I'm kind of confused. And I'd just like to know, yay or nay, where Marjorie, Vika, and Chris stand on this, whether which method they prefer.
I already told you what my recommendation was, but if you vote to do referendum, that's fine too.
Okay, just wanted to confirm that. Vika?
If I had to be honest, I would say that this would create a little bit more extra work for us.
Yeah, it'll have to be hand counted. Because
everything would have to be hand counted. It's going to make for a very long night at the end of the night, because not only are we just going to be hand counting who got elected for the school board, who got elected for selectmen, but we're going to have to hand count every single question. So it will be, you know, a 15 plus hour day doing that at the end of the night. But then sending out, you know, we're going to have to be a little bit more meticulous, sending out not just, you know, one or two ballots, but this whole packet, which is ultimately is going to, you know, cost more to send out. So work-wise, it's going to create more work for us. So personally, if I had to vote on it, I would not want to do it this way, but you guys do what you feel is the right thing to be done.
Understood. And Chris?
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that, with Vika's saying and what Marjorie is saying as well. I think Marjorie mentioned that coming up in the next few days, the governor might make some more changes to how we hold a meeting as far as how many people, and maybe, you know, we wait for that to see if she changes it. I also think that if the word gets out enough that we most likely will not have a lot of people come to town meeting anyway, and maybe we could pull it off having a town meeting without violating any of the rules.
Okay.
Thank you all three.
Anything else, discussion in the workshop on this that anybody wants to go through? Okay, so hearing no more discussion, we'll close that part of the workshop. Now, I didn't give any opportunity for the public to speak on any of these three workshop items, and I intended to do that, but I didn't. So at this point, I will open it up to any of the other seven attendees on any of the topics discussed in the workshops. If anybody has anything they'd like to say, you can raise your hand at this time virtually. Okay, seeing none, thank you. Now we're about to go into the regular part of the meeting. So item number five is...
Peter Rice has his hand up.
Oh, thank you, Donna. Thank you, Donna. Go right ahead. Peter.
Thank you. I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
I have a question. There are two, as far as I know, only two candidates who are running for the selectman position, and they're both write-in candidates. And ordinarily, one can run the day of the town meeting and announce and be voted on. I'm just curious, how is that all going to work if it's all done through referenda?
The elections are always done by ballot, but maybe I'm not understanding your question.
Well, right, but suppose there's no way for someone to run who is, I guess, at a town meeting to announce themselves.
I think it's the form.
We adopted a secret ballot election in 2011, I think.
But at the town meeting, can't someone announce that, for example, I want to run for selectman, and then
He's referring to the last item. On every warrant, which says, should we hold a forum for anybody who wants to, for any candidates who want to discuss? So that's what he's saying. So that would be done.
Candidates who have not declared, who are not officially on the ballot.
We open it up for anybody. Typically, it's for anybody who wants to run for the.
Write-in candidate, whoever wanted to run.
So hold on. Let me finish, please.
All right.
The way I would see that working is that would happen during the hearing instead of during the election or at any point, and anybody at that point during the hearing would be able to say, "I'm interested in running." And we could still have the option of holding that forum. The forum is an informal thing. And then the ballot would simply, so under selectmen, there would be no names listed. There would only be a write-in blank. And, you know, there are important restrictions. You know, the spelling has to be right. And, you know, a number of other things has to be very clear. So we would need to give members of the public some explicit instructions on what the scenario is there. Donna, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I've had several people approach me about having some kind of a Zoom candidates night. So I know some people are talking about that, and that maybe that's something that could take the place of what Peter's talking about. You know, when we could spread the word, and if anybody, you know, maybe early in July, if somebody's thinking about running, this is an opportunity, you know, for school board, selectmen, whatever. I think it's just kind of in the talking stages now, but that was something I heard. And then anybody could listen in and ask questions or whatever.
Yep.
I don't know if that would help, Peter.
Okay. Thank you.
So it is something for us to consider. If we don't have the open town meeting, then and it's a referendum, then we might want to add that form to the hearing process. Okay, thank you, Peter. Good question. Anybody else have their hand up for any items on the?
Not that I can see.
Okay, yeah, me neither. Okay, thank you. So we're about to enter the regular business portion of the agenda. So I would open it up to public comments for items not on the agenda, which is an item we always have. So if there's anything not covered on the agenda that somebody would like to say, you can raise your hand now. Okay, seeing no hands, we'll go into item number 6, which is regular business, take any action resulting from the workshops. Let's start from the end and go forward. So, based on the governor's executive order and the recommendations we heard in that workshop, is there a motion for this board to direct the staff in a particular direction on holding the format of the town meeting?
I'll move that we use a referendum process in lieu of town meeting.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that with the understanding that that's as described by Marjorie. Is that correct?
The referendum process?
Yeah. Marjorie described.
Is that your intent, Donna, to follow Marjorie's recommendations on the referendum?
I don't understand.
It was Marjorie explained how the referendum worked. Is that what you're talking about, David?
Yeah.
That they take the that we vote at the hall on each one of the items.
Yeah,
in the voting booth. Is that what you're talking about?
I think he's just asking if your motion is consistent with what we heard from Marjorie in terms of what would be required for a referendum.
Of how a referendum works? Yes. Yeah, my motion is consistent with what she said.
Thank you. I just wanted a confirmation of that.
Okay, so we'll open it up for discussion from the board first. Mark?
I did like Marjorie's suggestion that she's going to talk with Natalie and look at some options of how to possibly bundle some of the warrant.
Okay, Jay?
I'm a fan of the old-fashioned town meeting, and I think that given, as Christine pointed out, that the governor is talking about coming up with some changes, that we ought to be able to figure out how to facilitate a regular town meeting. And that's what I'd like to see us do.
Okay. I think I'm in that camp myself, partly just because it's such a change for people, partly because it creates a lot more work for our staff, and they've expressed some concerns. I think they could pull it off, but I just don't see the point in adding new stresses to the process. And if there was definitely an item that was important and controversial, I would say go ahead. But I do have the feeling that this is, you know, this is going to be a small gathering. We'll get the information out there as soon as we can. And I think we can do it within the constraints of the CDC. So that's the camp I'm in at this point. Further discussion from the board? Okay. I'll open it up to the public. If there's any members of the public who would like to speak on the motion, which is to hold the town meeting budget vote by referendum. Okay, I don't see any hands up. So at that point, I will take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
No.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Main is a no. Passes 3-2. Thank you very much, everybody, for that. Are there other action items for either that or the other two workshops that we held?
Do we have to make a motion about having a meeting next week with Marjorie, or is that just you make the agenda? So,
yeah, I think I can call an executive session without a motion. That's correct, Marjorie, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I will do that. The insecticide, the pesticide and herbicide thing, we need more information. So we just suggested that I would loop back and we would leave it. I will leave it there. With just that communication. And if we hear more back from that, I will let you know. Anything else in the regular business? Okay. I have nothing, I think, for communications at this point. Anybody have anything for communications? Okay. Hearing none. Marjorie, all set on communications?
Yes.
Okay. I have a motion to approve the minutes from 6-3.
So moved.
Is there a second? Okay, David, seconds. You can pick the motion you want, Christine. I call it a tie. Any discussion on the motion? All right, roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you very much. We're in the other business section. Is there any other business for this body to take up? Marjorie, go ahead.
I just wanted to tell you that there's another warrant here to sign, pay the bills.
Okay. I do want to give the opportunity. We talked about the road plan changes. I want to give the opportunity if this board wants to discuss that in further depth. I think, Donna, you said you wanted to understand more about that.
I just wanted to understand, so in case people ask me, my daughter's been riding her bicycle around and she's got some concerns about some of the roads. So I told her I thought they were going to get better. So I just want to make sure which ones they are.
All right. These European people can't come over here and tell us how to get our roads. Okay. So you read the memo. Did you see the memo?
But I wasn't, it was different from the last one I saw. So I wasn't sure whether you're actually doing Old Cot Road, you're actually doing Potter Cottage Road. I wasn't sure. So okay. That's why I'm asking for clarification.
Well, the ultimate decision is the road commissioners, as it is every year. The road committee gives its say. Mark and I did most of the work because of the state of affairs this year and where the roads were. And I have to say Mark did most of the work. And so the report was put together. The committee was sort of looped into it, but we didn't do our usual sort of work on it. But Mark certainly did the legwork. That report is a document that goes to the road commissioner. The road commissioner takes those recommendations under consideration, but makes the final determination on what the actual work should be. And this year is no different. The main difference this year is that the lay of the land changed a little bit because we couldn't get the road prep work done for under the chip seal. And Mark brought that to us at the last meeting, and he and I have met since then and put together the recommendation that you saw. So this again is a recommendation, and it's simply from Mark and I. It's not even from the road committee. It's simply from Mark and I to the road commissioner, copying the Board of Selectmen and the Road Planning Committee. Mark, do you want to summarize the recommendations that we made?
Sure. Thanks, Herb. My rationale on changing from CHIPS the CHIP seal program along with overlaying Firehouse to a overlay program this year, and then hopefully a big CHIP seal program next year, was based on some concerns that we've identified about some culverts, obviously, that need replacing. But also, once we decided that we may not be able to double chip seal the part of South Road from Roy Hill Road to the fire station past Doughty's store, that made it so we weren't going to get as good of a bang for the buck from the All States asphalt, quite frankly. And after talking to Jerry, that became very clear to me that it would be much better for the taxpayer dollar to try to overlay Firehouse Road and any other one or two sections, whatever we can fit in there, that will fit our existing budget goal for this season, and then do a bigger chip seal program next year. And paving and chip sealing is based on volume. So if we can continue this plan and try to finish this road plan up in the next couple of years, I guess is a good way to state it at this point, is our goal. We will probably be able to get a decent price on that activity. Now, having said that, there's still some culverts that need replacing. I think Marjorie's aware of that, and I think she's identified possibly Firehouse Road as the first candidate for having some culvert work done. And then that would probably leave six or eight more culverts in town that really need to be replaced, in my opinion. And they probably need to be replaced in this calendar year before cold weather, so that it doesn't interrupt us next year for chip sealing, which likely would start in the month that we're in right now next year. So that's just my take on it. Is that helpful?
No, because I want to know the names of the roads. So Firehouse Road is one.
It said
and maybe more. It's Firehouse, Old Cart Road, and part of Cottage Road? Is that what we're talking about?
Essentially what we did, Donna, is the recommendation doesn't involve Firehouse Road. So Firehouse Road was in the plan anyways. It was in the works. The funding for that is already set aside. So there's no Firehouse Road that'll happen, funding or no funding, new funding or no new funding. And that's part of the plan. The recommendation doesn't affect that. What we are doing is saying the chip sealing portion of what we were going to do is that we should delay that and replace that portion of the program with, basically, the answer to your question is whatever roads make sense that still need to be done. And Marjorie is going to have to talk with Jerry, and Jerry is going to have to come down. Jerry Douglas of All States Paving is going to have to come down probably and look at those roads, because this is different than what he looked at when he came down before. And Marjorie and Jerry are going to have to figure out whether the scheduling works, whether the roads work. Mark and I sort of both drove those roads and think that at least some of that work makes sense, that no culvert replacements need to be done on some of them. But the reason that it's sort of vague is because those details need to be worked out between Marjorie and Jerry on what can actually happen in the constraints of what we're dealing with. Is that a fair assessment?
When are they planning to do the paving? I'm just curious.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is just a recommendation. Marjorie has to, you know, take that recommendation under consideration and move forward with Jerry in whatever way she feels is appropriate.
So my first plan is to review the culverts that would need to be replaced for these additional roads and to meet with Jerry Douglas. Those are the first two things that I need to do, along with preparing a referendum ballot. Sorry.
Right. No, I get it.
Okay, so I understand. So we don't know for sure what we're going to, which ones we will do. Right?
That's accurate.
Except for, we know we're doing Firehouse.
Yes. Mark, go ahead.
I would just like to reiterate to Marjorie and all of you that I'm still available and willing to meet with Jerry Douglas again and wear masks and shuttle him around the island if that would be helpful.
Thank you.
And I guess I don't want to lose the point I think that Mark made, or maybe it was Herb, that we, in order to do the project next year that we want to do, that by the fall, so I would say October 1st, we need to have those other culverts replaced. And I don't know if we need a motion to that effect or directive to that effect, but I think we got to make sure that we don't lose sight of that because we don't want to be back in this position next year. So if we get that work done, you know, like by October 1st, it doesn't interfere with snow plowing and all that kind of stuff.
Right. If we get our job done, and by we I mean you guys, and hire a new town administrator in a reasonable amount of time, that could be their first job because let's hope we can get somebody in here pretty soon and get some overlap with Marjorie, who's given us a November date for a departure. So some of this is going to be overlap.
I don't know what the I have no idea what the schedule for the road crew is for different projects, but they must have a project sheet, and I would just think that should become a priority on that sheet.
Right. So next week we're going to be starting Firehouse Road, and that will be the first priority. And then based on my meetings with Jerry Douglas and the Public Works Department, if we're going to be paving these other roads, I've got to get two or three culverts done on those roads. So that would be the next item. And then we would be on the South Road project. Yeah. And I think Bo is familiar with that project. Okay.
Who's familiar?
Beaupré, Jean-Louis.
Oh, is he doing it, not the road crew? Is he going to do the culverts, not the road crew?
He would be working with them. But yes, I'm going to hire him, yes.
Okay. The South Road one in particular.
For both Firehouse Road and South Road and probably any other culverts. His excavator is much more efficient than the backhoe that we have.
Okay. Well, just a reminder that he is running for selectman, and so anything after the 14th, if he were elected, he would not be able to work for the town.
Oh, for Christ's sakes.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to throw a monkey wrench. I just... it's just an observation.
But I'm not sure it precludes him from working for the town.
I was asked to do a project and we went to the town attorney, I was a selectman, and you cannot be compensated. You can't work out for the town while you're a selectman. At least that was what the legal opinion was at that time. That was about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, we can get another legal opinion.
All right, let's just leave it there for now. I don't think, unless the board wants to take action on the recommendation that Mark and I have made, or sort of take some particular action, the recommendation is simply that it's the road commissioner's prerogative to carry out the work at whatever can be deemed it reasonable. If the board wants to make any particular directive in that context, now would be the time to do it.
It looks like somebody's got a hand up, but I'm not sure.
I don't see any hands.
I see a hand where it says virtual minutes. I don't know what that hand is hanging there for.
There's five attendees and none of them have their hand up.
Okay.
But this would be the time for the board to make a motion. And seeing none, I don't see any particular action to take on this. But we do understand this is a recommendation from Mark and I. It's not a board directive, and the road commissioner is free to interpret that in any way that makes sense. Okay, we all good with that. If there's no other business to undertake, I would accept a meeting to adjourn. A motion to adjourn.
So move.
So moved.
All right. Take your pick. Jay moved and David seconded. Roll call vote, Mr. Corson.
Yes.
Ms. Damon.
Yes.
Mr. Dyer.
Yes.
Mr. Hill.
Yes.
And Mr. Main is a yes. Thank you all for your time and sticking with it. I didn't expect this to be a two-hour meeting, but there we have it. It was a good discussion. Take care. Stay safe. Good night.
Wait a minute. One last thing. We are meeting again at this time next week.
I will call a meeting for next Wednesday.
Yes. Okay, good enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Night.
Night.